Chapter 16. Billy's apartment was only a couple of blocks from Bach-ordered books, and while I could have taken a couple of alleys to make the trip even shorter, I kept on the open streets where there were plenty of people. I didn't see anyone following me, but if there was a good enough team on me, or if they were using veils to hide their presence, of course, I might miss them. I kept my staff in my right hand and made sure my shield bracelet was ready in case anyone tried some kind of variant on the old drive-up assassination. I'd survived them before, but the classics never go out of style. I got to box in one piece, and no one so much as glared at me. I felt sort of rejected, but comforted myself with the knowledge that there were at least half a dozen people in town who were sure to keep making my life dangerous. More if you counted Mavra, who technically wasn't a person. Bach didn't open the doors of his store until 11, so when I went in, I was probably the first one to show up for the day. I paused outside the door. Two of the store windows and the glass panel of the door were all gone, replaced by rough sheets of plywood. Bach had gotten off better than the boutique next door. All the glass was gone, doubtless shattered by one kind of flying debris or another during my conversation with Cowell and his sidekick. I went inside. Bach was at his place behind the counter and looked tired. He glanced up at the sound of his door chimes. His expression became something closed and cautious when he saw me. "Bach," I said, "you here all night?" "End of the month inventory," he said, his voice careful and quiet. "And repairing the windows. What do you need?" I looked around the inside of the store. Sheila appeared from behind one of the shelves at the back of the store, looking anxious. She saw me and exhaled a little, then gave me a quiet smile. "Just here to talk," I told Bach, nodding toward Sheila. He glanced at her, then back at me, frowning. "Dresden, there's something I need to say to you." I arched an eyebrow at him. "What's wrong?"
"Look, I don't want to make you upset."
I leaned on my staff. "Bach, come on. You've known me ever since I came to town. If something's wrong, you aren't going to upset me by telling me about it." He folded his thick forearms over his paunch and said,
"I don't want you coming into my store anymore."
I leaned on my staff a little more.
"Oh, you're a decent enough man. You've never jumped down my throat like the other folks from the council. You've helped people around here."
He took a deep breath and made a vague gesture toward the plywood patches on his shop.
"But your trouble, it follows you around."
Which was true enough. I didn't say anything.
"Not everyone can drop a car on someone who attacks them," Bach went on. "I've got a family. My oldest is in college. I can't afford to have the place wrecked."
I nodded. I could understand Bach's position. It's terrifying to feel helpless in the face of a greater power, more so than it is painful to be told you aren't wanted somewhere.
"Look, if you need anything, give me a call. I'll order it or pull it off the shelves for you. Will or Georgia can come pick it up, but..."
"Okay," I said. My throat felt a little tight. Bach's face got red. He looked away from me at the ruined door.
"I'm sorry."
"Don't be," I said. "I understand. I'm sorry about your shop." He nodded.
"I'm just here for a minute. After that, I'll go."
"Right," he said. I walked down the aisles back to Sheila and nodded to her.
"I got your message."
Sheila was wearing the same clothes as the night before, only more rumpled. She'd pulled her hair back and held it in place with a pair of ballpoint pens thrust through a knot at right angles. With her hair like that, it showed the pale, clean lines of her jaw and throat, and I was again struck by the impulse to run my fingers over her skin and see if it was as soft as it looked. She glanced at Bach, then smiled up at me and touched my arm with her hand.
"I'm sorry he did that. It isn't fair of him."
"No, it's fair enough. He has the right to protect himself and his business," I said. "I don't blame him." She tilted her head to one side, studying my face.
"But it hurts anyway?"
I shrugged. "Some. I'll survive." The chimes rung at the front of the store as another customer came in. I glanced back at Bach and sighed.
"Look, I don't want to be here very long.
What did you need? She brushed back a few strands of hair that had escaped the knot. Well, I had a strange experience last night. I lifted my eyebrows. Go on. She picked up a small stack of books and started shelving them as she spoke. After all the excitement, I went back to the inventory in the back room, and Mr. Bach had gone to get the plywood for the windows. I thought I heard the chimes ring, but when I looked, no one was there.
Uh-huh, I said.